Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
The biggest pro football overlays in Vegas are back with $12 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports. With two ways to win and no rake. Circa Million with quarterly payouts and 100% payback. And Circa Survivor. Select one team each week with no point spread. Take in the big money with $12 million in guaranteed prizes. Enter in Vegas. Play from anywhere. Visit CircaSports.com for details.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hard times like, yeah. Bad trips like, yeah. Nazareth, I'm f***ed up, homie, you f***ed up. But if God got us, then we gon' be alright.
Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. I'm joined, as always, by G. Hay Wiley, Brandon Deutsch, Jake Decker. How are we doing on this beautiful day?
Well, it is a beautiful Thursday. I love it. I love it. Yep, absolutely.
Beautiful Thursday. Love the weather in Los Angeles. My dad just got back from Florida. It was super humid there for him. He couldn't wait to be back in this weather. I guess that's why we pay the big bucks, or at least try to get money to pay the big bucks in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I mean, not much going on yesterday with no sports. Got up early to watch the only storm and sky WNBA game. only sporting event of the day. But I'm glad that it's a new day.
Did anybody watch the friendly? Anybody watch the friendly yesterday?
I did not.
No. Okay. I guess I'm the only. I guess I'm the only soccer watching person on the crew.
That yeah, was a charity event for autism, right? Awareness or whatever. It was on ESPN.
Yeah, yeah, it was just. It was just like an international friendly.
I heard it was a great match. I didn't see it though.
It was good. It was good. I mean, considering it was a friendly, there was it wasn't really friendly. There were some fights that pretty much broke out, but there were some good, some good matchups, and it was a good game. It was a good match.
Yeah, it was the quietest day on the sports calendar, but we still do have things to talk about. So with that said, let's get to today's headlines brought to you by Circa Sports. Circa Millions and Circa Survivor Pro Football Contests are back with $12 million in guaranteed prizes. Visit CircaSports.com for details. Hit it, G-Hay.
Well, during the ESPYs, speaking of sports being on and not being on last night, host Steph Curry took a shot at the Lakers, saying it's inspiring to see a strategy of buying old superstars pay off for a local team around here. Guys, will the Lakers use this as extra motivation or fodder for a comeback year, do you think?
Listen, having worked on this show for many years when I was an employee of the Worldwide Leader, I mean, Steph didn't write this. I mean, someone wrote it for him. He delivered it. He delivered it in a fantastic way. He did a good job. I mean, really an incredible year by Steph Curry, right? Like MVP of the All-Star Game, MVP MVP of the finals, world champion and all these things. And to be a host, I mean, people don't realize how hard that is to host that award show, especially to make jokes about people who are right in front of you. So, you know, the key there, though, is he did not write those jokes. He did deliver them. He did have the ability to say, I'm not comfortable saying that. So he had some funny one-liners, Jihei, one at the expense of the Lakers, one at the expense of the Clippers. The Lakers have enough things to worry about. I don't think they're worried about a one-liner Steph made at an award show. But listen, if it does help, fuel the fire, fantastic. But no, I do not believe that that will be the case.
I think that, yeah, go ahead, Jihei.
No, all you. You're good. Go nuts.
I don't think they need any more fuel to the fire, right? I mean, last season, the season before this past disastrous year for the Lakers, knocked out in the first round. Yes, they blamed it on injuries, but you would think they would have had a chip on their shoulder last year. They didn't. They played with no heart all of last season until the last game, which was probably the most fun Laker game since none of the stars were playing and Reeves had a 30-point triple-double. That was the one game they played with heart all season long, pretty much, other than LeBron putting up 50 points against the Warriors. That other game where he put up 50 points. But this is, the Lakers aren't, they're going to look at this. They're going to be like, hey, you know, whatever, LeBron will be, talk about our personal ages, whatever, again on Twitter. Who knows what's going to happen? He'll probably see it as an opportunity to get better. But again, Steph, he's on top of the world right now. He can say whatever he wants. And really, no one can say, hey, well, they can't say anything to him. Just won finals MVP, right?
Actions speak louder than words, right? But to answer this question, to answer this headline, I mean, like you said, Brandon, I agree with you. The Lakers have a lot more on their plate than worrying about what Steph Curry is saying about Steph Curry's writers, are saying about the Lakers organization. But that being said, I hope they do use it as fodder. I hope they do use it to motivate themselves because it can't hurt them, right? Like, I mean, it would be nice for them to maybe sit here and motivate and be like, you know, this is just another way that we can kind of get back and show these people what we actually naturally can do. So it would be great if maybe they used a little bit of it.
Yeah.
I mean, Steph's not wrong, right? Okay. So it didn't work. I don't think he's saying anything that people haven't heard before, but I chose to take this statement as more of just a reminder to the sports world that the Rams won the Super Bowl with a bunch of guys that performed at very high levels and maybe, you know, shouldn't be doing that at that point in their career. But I mean, look, he's not wrong. And as you guys said, it can't hurt them. So if this is something that someone uses to fuel them a little bit, I mean, go, sure, why not?
They also, Arash, like you said, though, they also should know, like, this isn't Curry's words. Like, these aren't, like, he's not sitting there in the joke factory being like, hey, I'm going to make fun of my boys who, like, I've played with, you know, like, and that we're actually comrades in this league. Like, you know, he's not trying to do this on purpose and make fun of you on purpose. So, yeah.
Jihei, I know you watched the show last night on television. I'd be curious how many people actually watch this award show. I used to be a part of it. It was a date that I circled on my calendar every year when I worked for the company for 10 years. I don't know whether it's the pandemic and being away from it for a few years, but it doesn't have the same pull. I'd be curious to see what you guys thought. Like as you sat home on Wednesday night, no sports happening, no games. Did you tune into the ESPYs? Did you like it? Did you watch it? What were your thoughts?
So I'm not going to lie. I watched it, but I'm not going to lie to you. I went back and forth between my DVR of Real Housewives of Dubai and Beverly Hills and watched the ESPYs at the same time. So I did a little bit of both. You know, kudos for them for trying to put an athlete on as a host. And Steph Curry did a good job for what Steph Curry is, but he's not a professional comedian. He's not a host. He's not, like, it's just not what he does for a living. He's a basketball player, and he's great at it. He's phenomenal at it. Was he a good host? He was fine. But, I think, like, entertainment-wise, like, I just think that it was bleh. Like, it was fine. Overall, you know, I this isn't something I would automatically circle on my calendar and be like, it used to be. You're right, Arash. I feel like a few years back, yeah, I looked forward to the ESPYs. I looked forward to what these guys were wearing. Yeah. you know, that green suit that Steph wore. I'm like, I don't know about that, but you know, I looked forward to the fashion. I looked forward to, you know, who was going to end up showing up. Congrats to Cooper Kupp. Shout out to him, man, because that is so well deserved, an award. So you know, I think I did, and I think as I'm getting older, I think it's different. I think this is now catered definitely more towards the youth, and it's not really catered towards my checkbox or my box of age group.
Well, GA, that's a good point. So let's just see with our two younger co-hosts here. Did they attract a younger audience here? Jake, you first.
I'm kind of just going to echo what you and GA said. Like, it used to be something that I would look forward to. But I feel like everyone kind of knows that it doesn't hold the same like must-see TV factor that it used to, or that kind of weight, which I think is a shame, because it used to be, you know, you had the best athletes from every single sport and Olympians and all this different stuff. It used to be like, you know, if you were anybody, you were there. And I feel like it just doesn't have that pull anymore.
That being said, I have a quick question before you answer this, Brandon. Do you guys watch the Grammys, the Emmys, the Oscars? Like, do you watch any of those award shows? Because I think that's also like, that's kind of a trickle down thing where you want to see the best of the best and all these amazing artists. And those numbers have gone down as well. So do you watch those?
100% TV viewership across the board is down. The All-Star game last night, the TV viewership numbers came down. That was down. The Academy Awards, low numbers for that. The Grammys, the Emmys. That. So, listen, my thought process there is I generally do watch these things because I like sports, I like entertainment, but it doesn't hold the same. I don't plan my life around it, and it used to be that way. It used to be, I'm gonna sit at home, I'm gonna watch this event, this is something that I'm gonna plan my day around. With the ESPYs, I gotta be honest, I didn't even know it was happening until I think it was like on Monday, someone said, oh, are you going to go to the ESPYs? I'm like, I'm not going to the ESPYs. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
There used to be Oscar parties. You would physically go to your friend's house and watch an Oscar and watch the Oscars at their house and have like a themed party at their place. At least these were parties that I used to go to. And now nobody's holding an Oscars party or a Grammys party or, you know, any of these. Nobody's circling their calendars. So with that, Brandon, I definitely still want to know. I want to know your opinion on this as well. Like, you know, were you ecstatic to like watch this? Were you like, meh, I can live without it?
Yeah, I mean, I'll answer the first part of that question. No, I was not ecstatic to watch it. I quite frankly didn't care. The only thing that I was happy to see is them finally diversifying the male athlete of the year, given that the Shohei Ohtani rightfully deserves it as the best athlete in the world, regardless of sport. I think there's no question about that. And usually they give it to like either a football or a basketball player. Every year, football or basketball player. Right? 1 year, if an Olympian has like a Michael Phelps type tenure, they'll like congratulate his, you know, years of success, right? So that's another issue. I'm glad they're diversifying that. But no, ever since Drake hosted it after that, no one's really watched it. That was what, 3 years ago? 2 years ago? I mean,
it was longer than that. And by the way, you're 100% right. Drake was an amazing host. Drake was the last time. Well, I mean, again, it was different because I worked for the company and I knew how good he would do. That was an amazing host. That was an amazing night. Like if you can go to YouTube and watch that, side pieces, that song that Drake sang. Oh, how uncomfortable all the athletes were sitting next to their wives that night. It was incredible.
Oh, it was.
If Peyton hosted it every year, I'd watch it. He was great.
Oh, absolutely. I would watch it every year if Peyton, if both the brothers hosted it. I would watch it.
Yeah. I also think Arash also, you know, brought up a great point that Drake kind of, he brings this pop culture aspect to it, you know, for viewership, to bring the sports needs to continue to plug that connection to rap music, to pop culture, for it to succeed. And really, they're not doing that as much right now. You could, it's indicative with the hosts of the award shows. And to answer GA's question, I do watch the Grammys, although I wish more rappers would perform at the Grammys instead of musicians. No one's listened to in 50 years. No offense to the old classic rock people. And look, I mean, that's more of like a gala, right? And the Oscars, you know, like people watch it. I watch it occasionally, but you know, it's a big event. It gets most, a lot of viewership, top 10 for TV every year with the NFL, who is king with all of this. But I also think it's like people are cutting cable. People are like just pirating stuff at an all time high. They're not paying for stuff. So this is kind of a little bit, whatever you call it, it's not 100% right when you see all these ratings down. That's also a byproduct of, it's deceiving. It's a byproduct of what people have been doing the past couple of years.
I absolutely agree with you, Brandon. Speaking of that, do you guys watch, because it's on YouTube TV, it is not, it's only on a streaming service, do you and will you watch the LIV tournaments? Because those are technically, it's like the one sport that's only on a streaming service. It's not on any major network. Would you do that? Because this is your generation that only watches streaming.
I mean, I don't have YouTube TV, so I guess I'm not watching them. When I'm at school, we have YouTube TV, and I would watch it if I had access to it. Yes, I would watch it, I guess is my answer to the question.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to answer that by saying, I'm not a huge golf fan, but I will say I'm interested to see how this whole thing is going to look just from a visual standpoint, because all the money they're pouring in, marketing and everything, and just how weird it's going to be seeing this, you know, new juggernaut tour. But I stand with Jake. I don't have YouTube TV, so I'm probably not going to watch it, just the highlights.
But what I love about it, Jihei, is the drama. Like, the drama of, like, someone wins the, like, Open or the Masters or whatever, and they just signed with the LIV tournament or something like that. I mean, so I think it gives a lot of attention to the sport, but I get it. I think, you know, generally speaking, streaming, although this is the future of how we're going to consume sports, a lot of the country still is not at the point where they have YouTube TV or Peacock and things like that.
Yeah, definitely. Well, moving on to the Lakers, because it is, again, the Arash Markazi show, and what else are we going to talk about with no sports on? The Lakers are reportedly engaging in talks with the Pacers in a deal centered around Buddy Hield and possibly Miles Turner. Although acquiring both of those players will be an uphill battle, can the Lakers pull off a trade for at least one of these guys, or do they continue to play the waiting game with Kyrie Irving?
I would love this. This would make, this would right a wrong. The Lakers were so close to making that heel trade. And then I would love to get a TikTok version, not a TikTok like you guys do, but an actual, how did this happen? How did they go from doing the heel trade to wait, it's not going to be about a heel trade. It's going to be a Russell Westbrook trade. That changed the complexion of the Lakers, changed their fortunes. If they can now right that wrong, if they can make a trade for Hield, would be fantastic. Clearly, they would have to package a draft pick, maybe Talen Horton-Tucker. Turner has to be involved in all these things. But at the very least, they would right a wrong and put together a team. You correct me if I'm wrong, Brandon. I think this team, again, it's not the Kyrie trade with Hield and Turner. At least that team is more of a championship contender.
Oh, of course. I mean, if they can get both Hield and Turner and still be able to get away with keeping one of their picks, or at least putting protections on both if they do get rid of both of those, I don't think they would ever get rid of two. I mean, it doesn't make sense. Everyone on Twitter is like, oh, Miles Turner, Buddy Hield, so much more value than Russell Westbrook. And that's true. But at the same time, Russ is an expiring contract. The Pacers want to shed salary long term. It makes sense. They take on Westbrook and they buy him out. They don't even need to play him and have him take up this backcourt space with Halliburton and Mathurin. They can literally buy him out, take on a pick, accelerate their rebuild, and get Buddy Hield, who makes $20 million a year, and Miles Turner makes $18 million a year, off of their team. This and Boston got Brogdon for what? For nothing. Pretty much a late first round pick. That guy's better than both Turner and Hield, right? But both of these guys would fit in. Hield would be the best shooter LeBron's had in a long time, and Turner is 3 and D. one of the best shot blockers in the NBA, if not the best. The problem still will be perimeter D, but they'll be better and they'll definitely be able to contend if Davis is healthy. So I agree with you, Arash. This would be a home run move by Pelinka if he gets healed and Turner, and maybe even better long-term in a Kyrie Irving drama situation.
Yeah, I mean, I think you guys both nailed it. I don't know how much there is to say that hasn't already been said, but I do think in terms of a standoff with Kyrie and Brooklyn and all, and how long this is kind of dragged out for, it's going to start, you know, we got to get back in the gym soon, right? Like, you need to start having guys show up and start building this chemistry. And if Russ is kind of lingering around still on the roster, knowing he's not going to be there, like, I feel like it's just going to have these long-term ramifications on the season. Even if a trade does get done at some point, if it takes too long for it to happen, I think that Hield and Turner would fit really, really well next to LeBron and AD, and, you know, as Brandon said, potentially better long term than a Kyrie move would be.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think we're all in agreement when it comes to this topic, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this would 100% be righting a wrong. This would be this would just have nothing but upside for them.
Just because it's not Kyrie, which is the sexy name, doesn't mean it's the right decision. Pelinka has a successful offseason if he makes either of these trades.
I mean, the one thing that is very clear is that Russell Westbrook cannot begin, not only the season, really, he cannot begin training camp with this team. It is very clear that no matter what Ham wants to say, no matter what the Lakers want to say publicly, he doesn't want to be here. And by the way, he has every right to believe that way. The fans don't want him here. I don't know if his teammates want him here. So it is a situation that cannot proceed as much as Ham. Again, a lot of the reports you will hear, if you hear about the Lakers are trying to make it right, Ham is talking with Westbrook and LeBron and Westbrook and AD. They're talking. Those are all seeds that have been planted to make you think that this can work. It cannot work. He cannot continue with this team. All right, let's leave it there for now. When we come back, we will be joined by our good friend Nick Hamilton. And I saw Nick Hamilton everywhere. He was at the All-Star game. He was at the Home Run Derby. He was at the Celebrity softball game. He was everywhere. So we will talk to our good friend Nick Hamilton when we return right here on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California, the Fan in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
The biggest pro football overlays in Vegas are back. With $12 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports. With two ways to win and no rake. Circa Million with quarterly payouts and 100% payback. And Circa Survivor. Select one team each week with no point spread. Take in the big money with $12 million in guaranteed prizes. Enter in Vegas, play from anywhere. Visit CircaSports.com for details.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Still clown with the underground
when we come around. Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California. 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network. 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or a comment or just want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Los Angeles, Las Vegas, or Hawaii, call our hotline, 310-400-0340. All right, let's go out to the Circa Sports guest hotline right now. Circa Millions and Circa Survivor Pro Football Contest with $12 million in guaranteed prizes are back. Visit CircaSports.com for details. And here he is, our good friend, the man about town, Nick Hamilton. Nick, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. I'm trying to be out here and build an empire like the Greg Arash Markazi.
Nick, I was lucky enough to hang around you this week. We had the All-Star Week. The ESPYs were in town. What was the highlight? Again, you were living it up, my friend. I mean, I was texting with you Not as young as I used to be, my friend. You were at house parties. You were at gifting suites. What was the highlight of the week?
Well, first of all, I was fortunate to be around you in the return of the black shirt.
That's right. It was a return. I loved it.
Yeah. But no, man, I think the whole weekend, man, I think the whole week, you know, weekend, whatever you want to entitle it, I think it was great. I mean, opening ceremonies for, you know, when it came to the Fan Fest, and then you had the MLB draft, which I thought was brilliant of Major League Baseball to do during the All-Star game. And what better place to have it than in Los Angeles and allowing fans to be a part of it this time, as you elocuted a couple of days ago, only the second time that fans were allowed at the MLB draft, yeah, which I thought was smart. And I think that needs to continue to happen. I think it needs to be a third, fourth, fifth, and beyond time that fans are able to engage with Major League Baseball players as they rise from, you know, the ranks of being drafted to, you know, some of them going to superstardom. And I think it's important to grow the game. And then you had, obviously, the celeb game with Bad Bunny and Quavo and JoJo and, you know, Desus and Mero, which we later found out that they broke up like the Fat Boys.
That's right.
And, you know, now we're sitting up here trying to scratch our heads. And it was interesting because I got one of the last interviews with Desus and Mero at that game, which I'll be putting out sometime today. So that was fun. And then, you know, like I said, just watching the future stars and, you know, going to gifting suites where we got myself and my established colleague and friend, Michael Duarte from NBC, you know, that basically came up on some really nice swag. So props to the MLB All-Star House for that. But, you know, like I said, this is with the Home Run Derby. I thought the Home Run Derby was really, really interesting this year. I think the Home Run Derby really served a purpose to the fans. The fans got a treat between Juan Soto, J-Rod, even Albert Pujols, who thought Albert Pujols was actually going to be in a face-off at the Home Run Derby at his age and his stage of his career. So I thought it was great. I thought the All-Star game itself was great. The tribute to Mrs. Rachel Robinson, who turned 100 years old on Tuesday, was a great speech, not only by Denzel, but by Mookie Betts as well. So I thought, you know, just I thought the All-Star game was great. It was very thoroughly entertaining, especially that play with Shohei Ohtani and Kershaw. That was probably one of the most entertaining plays that we saw in the All-Star game. I mean, who gets picked off in an All-Star game? But, I mean, hey, two Southern California guys going at it. I thought it was great for the fans. And it was actually a sellout at Dodger Stadium for the All-Star game. So it was a lot of great festivities, a lot of great parties around. But hey, man, now we move on to the second half of the season.
Yeah, Nick, I wanted to ask you, speaking of the All-Star game, Jake and I were talking about this earlier on, and I just think that there's too many selections, right? There were a ton of replacements, ton of guys you need to give at-bats to. No one can really get into a rhythm against the pitcher. At the same time, there's the opposing argument that you need to play all these guys, right? Because they're the representatives of their teams, and they need to put on a show. But then these guys are so good on the mound now. You're only getting one at-bat. Usually they can get hits if they see him three times through the lineup. But you're only getting one now. What are your thoughts on that? Is there any way to change that kind of structure for this game?
I mean, who cares? It's an All-Star game. It's for the fans. You're bringing out the best of the best for the fans. Everybody's going to get a chance to play. Now, I may not be in favor of, like, every team has to be represented, because I agree with you in that aspect. There were guys like Will Smith. There were guys like Josh Bell who didn't get an opportunity to be selected on the All-Star team, which should have been selected on the All-Star team because they put up the numbers and they had the consistency that it took. However, those who were there, obviously there were some injuries, Bryce Harper and guys like that that had, you know, replacements. And listen, it was at a Dodger Stadium. You were going to get more Dodgers than anything because it was at Dodger Stadium. Had it been at Petco Park, or had it been – at what is a T-Mobile Stadium, whatever, in Seattle next year, you probably would go, if it was the same scenario that will happen next year, you're probably going to get a lot more Mariners than anybody else because it's about the home crowd. But at the end of the day, I think it served its purpose. I think, you know, you're going to get the best of the best. This is an All-Star game. This is not a real game. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't count. It's thoroughly for entertainment, which Major League Baseball finally got the memo. And the thing I love the most is the fact that if we got a tie game, we get an extra home run derby out of it to decide who's going to be the winner. So I don't really have a whole lot of quarrels about that, except for, like I said, the fact that, you know, guys that got snubbed, you know, because of the rule that everybody has to be represented, I think that needs to change. But other than that, man, I think it was fine. All you baseball purists out there, relax. You have a whole freaking season to deal with the whole baseball rules. It's one doggone game. Get over yourselves. It's for entertainment. It's for the kids. It's for the fans. Don't blow an artery because, oh my God, we didn't honor the baseball rules. What's going on? Like, knock it off. Okay. Just enjoy the game for what it is. Because would you rather watch the home run derby in the All-Star game, or would you rather watch the boring ass slam dunk tournament?
Nick, I know throughout the weekend you were able to talk to a lot of different guys who were involved in the All-Star game. Amongst the players, what did the vibe that you got, what they found, you know, the coolest about the weekend, whether it was playing with Clayton Kershaw with his start at Dodger Stadium or playing with guys like Miguel Cabrera and Albert Pujols, a lot of Southern California guys playing in front of their families. What was the vibe you got from those guys?
I think it was different vibes, man. I think when you talk to Aaron Judge, it was just him being in Los Angeles again. You know, he had been out here since 2019 when the Yankees played the Dodgers. So it was just being in Los Angeles, representing one of the most established franchises in all the sports in the New York Yankees. Obviously, there's a lot of talk about what's going to happen to him in the future, but he was able to focus on the game itself and have fun. And I thought that was great. I even talked to him about, Kobe Bryant. Obviously, he was a big fan and supporter of Kobe Bryant. And he even told me, you know, when we spoke, was the fact that, you know what, he still watches Kobe's interviews. He still, you know, reads the book, and he still is just, you know, mesmerized by the whole Mamba mentality. He utilizes the Mamba mentality and knows how to decipher between Aaron and number 99. That's the one thing he took away. So he was able to still have fun and be out about, you know, just like you said, getting around Clayton Kershaw, Shohei Ohtani. He was excited to talk to. Even talking to the MVP, Giancarlo Stanton, you know, he was excited just to be around other guys and really get to know other guys. You know, Paul Goldschmidt, his biggest thing is, hey, I got a chance to play one last game, you know, an All-Star game with Albert Pujols. A lot of guys gave Albert Pujols a lot of props and a lot of credit because they were saying, look, this guy, he embraces you. He gives one of the best hugs in all of professional sports when you're talking to Albert Pujols. And then a lot of guys, you know, especially Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, you know, they're talking about just the significance of having Clayton Kershaw start his very first All-Star game at Dodger Stadium and what that meant and how significant that was. You know, talking to Ronald Acuña Jr., he was just excited just to be, you know, around, you know, Kershaw and around guys that, you know, he played against and plays against during the regular season, but just building that camaraderie. Mike Trout being there, you know, he didn't participate due to the back spasms, but he still showed up and still showed the fans love and really cheered on his teammate Shohei Ohtani. And I think Shohei, you know, he seemed a lot more relaxed than he did in the last year's All-Star Classic, because I think he's got that first one under his belt, so he kind of prepared himself for what to expect. And, you know, him being at home, I think, kind of eases his nerves a little bit as well, not being far away from Anaheim. So I think all around, man, guys are just excited to play with one another, get to know each other, you know, be around the fans. And again, great weather in Los Angeles. What better weather to have in Los Angeles? I mean, Arash and I got sunburned, for God's sake. Lord knows what they experienced, but it was all in fun, man. So I thought it was just great. I think the players really enjoyed it.
So I was going to ask you about Juan Soto, and I want to get to that in a second. The Dodgers and Chavez Ravine have not hosted an All-Star game in over 40 years. Is there, like, can you give me a reasoning for that? Like, is there any like interior knowledge that you might not possibly know about that? And then we can get to Juan Soto and his possibility of being with the Dodgers.
No, G, I have no interior knowledge. I have no intel. I have nothing for you. I'm so sorry.
I thought you were going to hook us up, man.
I hooked y'all up. Listen. Let me tell you something. I braved 95 plus degree heat for you people. Okay. I brought you content. I brought you people interviews. I brought you people perspective. And I sat there and I'm about to probably peel sometime tomorrow because of this gorgeous face that I have to showcase on television at some point. And I have to sit up here and have to use olive vera to do the work that we have to complete. Hell, Arash was sweating like T.D. Jakes in a suit, for God's sakes, with that black shirt. I mean, he's out here putting in work, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. So that's the perspective I bring to the table, ladies and gentlemen, and those listening across America's airwaves.
But to G-Hay's question, there was a viral clip where the fans are chanting "Future Dodger," and Juan Soto is soaking it up to the point where he's laughing and smiling, and he forgets it's the end of the inning. You got to run back into the dugout. He was loving it. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I love the hustle, but I love the fact that Dodger fans are really trying to embrace and really recruit players now. Because they actually have a franchise that's willing to recruit players. Now, I don't know if the Dodgers are going to be able to do it. They are one of the teams that are able to do it if they decide to pull the trigger, because they do have the assets that are needed to acquire a player of his caliber. Again, I'm not saying that Andrew Freeman and Stan Kasten are inclined to do it, but it's great to see fans being engaged in the process. Between that and the fans fighting in stands during the home run derby, which made absolutely no damn sense. This is why you don't let alcohol be consumed amongst people in certain times of the day, because this is the kind of foolishness and stupidity that you get. But back to the Juan Soto situation, listen, I think there are about three or four teams that can legitimately, you know, compete for his services. I think the Dodgers are one team. I think the Yankees could be possibly one team. I think the Cardinals could be one team. And I do think the San Francisco Giants could be another team as well. But it's interesting because he does have basically a year and a half left on his deal if he does get traded. And according to a lot of people that are on the inside, and even an insider that I spoke with on the field from another network, he told me probably the next 10 to 12 days you may see Juan Soto be on the move. When I talked to Scott Boras on Monday, he told me something that obviously has already been reported, but he told me that because Juan Soto turned down the $440 million offer, that the Washington Nationals did not send him to the All-Star game via private jet or charter.
Oh, wow.
He had to actually take a commercial flight. Thank God he was able to sit in first class, because Major League Baseball makes sure that every All-Star, no matter how they travel, are going to be in first class and at least be comfortable. So he had to go from Washington, D.C., to Atlanta, and then Atlanta, connecting Atlanta and going from Atlanta to Los Angeles. And he arrived at 1:30 in the morning that previous day before all of the hoopla, the presser, and the fanfare when it came to having the media day for the National League and the American League All-Stars. So for him to go out there and perform the way he performed in the home run derby and to be able to perform at the All-Star game, you know, hats off to Juan Soto. That's how bad he wants to get the hell out of Washington, D.C.
I mean, youth is also wasted on the young. He's 23 years young, so that definitely probably helped his cause. But you're right. I mean, for him to not be able to fly first class, I think that, or to be given a flight, like a PJ from his organization, that's ridiculous.
I mean, that was shady. That was shady than two pimps at a bus station. I mean, I can't understand how you just let that man just go commercial. Well, you know, thank God nothing happened. But I mean, that's a limited commodity. This guy is the premier, you know, player of your team, and just you don't care how he travels. I mean, come on, that's terrible in the organization of the Washington Nationals.
And could you imagine being on that flight and being like, wait, that's Juan Soto being on my flight right now. What is he doing on my flight? Like, I would be like dumbfounded if I knew that like somebody like that was going to be on my flight from DC to Atlanta and then Atlanta to LA.
Oh yeah, I'm tipping a flight attendant $50. I'm gonna sit in first class, get a scoop of white while he's sitting on a commercial flight.
One thing I wanted to add just about the Juan Soto situation is I think the Dodgers are in a really interesting spot where they can trade for him if they want to, but they don't necessarily have to. Where in years past, there's been a big free agent at the deadline, you know, a Yu Darvish or a Max Scherzer, where they've really needed to go out and make that move. Or else, you know, it would extremely limit their postseason abilities. I think they're in a spot this year where there's such a surplus of offense and impact bats on this team, where if they decide that the better option is to go and try to grab like a Luis Castillo, where in October, if they get beat, it'll probably be on the mound, that they don't have to go out and make the huge trade if they don't want to.
Well, also, yeah. Too, I agree with you. I think Luis Castillo could be a definitely a piece that they need, especially as far as the arms are concerned. But then again, there is Dustin May that could potentially be on the comeback. We don't know the status of Blake Treinen as of yet. Walker Buehler is going to be on his way back at some point. You still got Clayton Kershaw. You still got Julio Urias. So they still have some arms. Obviously, Tony Gonsolin, who you know, gave up some homers in the All-Star game, and thank God it was just the All-Star game and not the real game. But you still have him. You still have Tyler Anderson. So you still have some sizable arms. But I think Luis Castillo could definitely booster that roster. But let's keep this in mind, too. If the Dodgers do decide to trade for Juan Soto, they still have a year and a half left to decide if they're going to extend him or let him walk. Now, let's take this scenario, for example. If the Dodgers do, let's say they do decide to acquire Juan Soto, and they do decide and they do happen to win a World Series title, well, guess what? You don't necessarily have to pay Juan Soto. You could keep him for another season, let him build his numbers up, and let him walk. And that way you're not out of pocket for anything other than some prospects. Maybe, you know, they may want a player that can play right now. So maybe Bellinger, maybe Max Muncy, maybe somebody of that caliber who's not really performing that well, but that may be able to perform in a different scenario. But they have, like you said, the Dodgers have a lot of options. So it wouldn't surprise me what direction the Dodgers would go. But I do believe I'm leaning more towards, I think they need an arm more than just another offensive weapon.
And Nick, I wanted to ask you about Bellinger. Over the past year and a half, two seasons now, you know, he hasn't been great since that MVP campaign. And his rookie year was miraculous too, 39 home runs. Even his second year, 25 home runs. Do you think what we're seeing right now is what we're going to get? Because in the playoffs last year, he was really good, actually, when it counted.
Yeah, he was good in the playoffs. But here's the thing. Are you willing to gamble that this time? Because based upon the body of work that you've illustrated just now and the things that we've seen this season, I don't have any indication that he may just all of a sudden his bat's going to get hot. You hope that his bat gets hot, but there's no guarantee as far as the higher probability of him actually connecting with the ball and actually having, when you have runners in scoring position, be able to make those proper plays to score runs and to be able to win ball games. I'm not confident in that, which is why I would not, if I'm Andrew Freeman, I would not extend Bellinger, because based upon the money that he's going to command, I don't think he's worth the price of admission when it comes to that type of money. Now, if he wants to take a lesser deal and you really believe in Cody Bellinger, pardon me, then I think you may have to look at that option. But for the money, we all believe he's going to be able to command on the open market at the end of the season, he's definitely not worth that. You may want to try to see if you can get a trade for him, maybe try to get some value. As I mentioned, maybe, you know, if you're looking at, you know, Luis Castillo, maybe that's what the Reds may want in return. Like, who knows? But at the same time, I would not extend Bellinger at all.
Yeah, and, you know, we've talked about it, but Nick, you touched on it, and we've talked about it, that the prospects that the Dodgers have, this is where it really helps to have a great farm system. Sure, they may have to include a current player, whether that's Lux, whether that's someone else. But again, these prospects really put them in a position where they can go out and get the player that they want to win a World Series this year. And the feeling that I get, as much as that they feel that they've earned that 2020 World Series championship, having won in a normal full 162 season, it means something to them. And so, again, we've had a great first half of the season, a great All-Star game in Los Angeles, but I'm really excited for the second half of the season. Nick, you're the best. Look forward to hanging with you again. We had a lot of fun this weekend in Los Angeles, or this entire week. Talk to you next week, my friend. That's all the time we have for today, folks. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe and stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hustle for the cash, so it's hard to knock it. Everybody got their own thing, currency chasing. Worldwide through the hard times, worrying faces. Shed tears as we bury brothers close to heart. What was a friend, now a ghost in the dark. Hard part about it, brother got smoked by a fiend. Trying to floss on him, blind to a broken man's dream. A hard lesson, court cases keep them guessing. Plea bargain ain't an option now, so I'm stressing.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.